This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this August 3rd edition of Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. We try to answer your questions live during this 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, or you can leave your question on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART. It's the same number live as when we're not live. Same number. We'll go to that in a minute. The dangers of short selling. An example in today's financial news, Tesla. Short sellers lose almost $800 million on the stock's rally after it reported earnings. And I'll have a Mark summary for you in just a few minutes. There may be one alternative to stocks. They just got cheaper, knocked down to bargain prices, and ordinary investors could own them through funds. Can you make a case for commodities? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. I'm sure you have yours, so get ready to call. We're live right now. You can call right anytime you want. So let's check in our 24-hour listener line calls. It's open for your questions anytime during the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week period.
Well, my question is it still possible to buy stocks directly from companies? I understand that you can, if you know who to talk to and who to contact direct, you can buy stocks from companies and make, instead of 3%, you can make 18% and 20% on the stock, I think.
Okay, that's yes and no. Yes, you can buy the stock directly from the companies, ESOPs. So you have to call the client relations department of the publicly traded company, and many companies, you can buy their stocks directly. No, you can't make more money than you can in the public when it's traded on the exchange. You can't make, if the stock makes 3%, you can't make 18% over the same period. No, same, you make the same amount. No, that's not true. I don't know where you're getting that from, that... That's just somebody giving you a bunch of false information. Now, you can buy, if you work for the company, you can, many companies offer discount, 15% discount to their employees to buy the stock. But that's not you. That's not me. That's employees of the company. And if the employer offers that benefit to its employees, maybe that's where you're getting that information as I think about it. Investing is an endeavor that involves infinite data points and unlimited opinions. You know that. You hear my opinion, but I'm just one of many. The job of the investor is to try to filter through all this information, filter out the information that's not important. Very difficult. You have to make rational decisions about your money based on all this conflicting, massive amounts of information. It's a pretty daunting task. Now, the people who are not successful usually do not have a defined plan based on their risk tolerance and investment time horizon, and they don't do all this massive work. No matter your strategy, there are two areas of expertise that all investors have to constantly work at and hopefully master, and that's fundamental analysis, and that's far more important than technical analysis. Fundamentals of the company, growth rates, earnings, profit margins, sales, all those things. So do you have questions about either one of those, fundamental or technical analysis? Fundamental is probably harder to grasp because the information changes. And I got a lot of calls, a lot of emails about Teva today because information changed. All the information changed when they reported their earnings. And the stock got hit 20%. We'll talk about that a little bit more as the day goes on. But, you know, that information is constantly changing and coming out, and you have to constantly review it. If you're stuck on either of the analytical tools, give me a call. You can do it right now, 888-99-CHARTS, how you can reach me. Your questions will be answered, and let's get back to the phone now.
Yes, this is Tom in Kentucky. I was just wondering about Teva Pharmaceuticals, T-E-V-A. I already hold several shares, and I was wondering if you regard this as a buying opportunity with how far it's down today, and if you regard the dividend as being safe. Thank you.
See, I knew I'd get a call on Teva because I'm the one who's been saying it's awfully cheap. And, of course, today it got a lot cheaper. It's down 20% because of the company did. They cut their dividend by 75%. I think that was the primary source or cause of the big fall in the stock, because all the dividend payers or dividend investors got rid of it or were selling heavy. So what happened? What happened? Well, Teva wanted, they said they wanted to cut the dividend so that they could pay down $5 billion in debt, and they want to do it this year. That's what they said. Also, the earnings came out. The sales and earnings came out. Now, the earnings looked terrible because they had a huge one-time item, an impairment of one-time item. In other words, something out of left field that you and I could never know existed, hurt their earnings. Their sales, they were supposed to have about 5.12 billion. It came in at 5.08 billion. So they were a little bit off, but not terrible. Earnings without the one-time item looked pretty decent. Not bad. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is they still don't have a CEO, or they're still looking for a CEO. They're still in turmoil. The company's still in turmoil. So the question is this the kind of thing that went down 20%? Do you buy it because of what happened today? Well, I think you wait. We have to really study those numbers, make sure we understand what's going on. And you never sell a company when it drops less hard in one day because it's already too late, dropped already hard. And you never buy it on that day that it drops this much. You got to give it a few days and see let it settle out to see what it's going to really do. And that's what I would recommend. We own Teva in our managed accounts. So, I'm part, and I own this personally, this along with the clients. So I'm suffering along with everybody else. And that was a pretty painful move. It broke all support. Remember, the support was right around 28 and ended up being down now at 23.75. No, 23.75 at the close. So it broke. It was 31. Went down to 23. That's how painful that was. Can you make a case for commodities? That's one of our talking points. Also, I want to discuss Bitcoin. Things you should know about Bitcoin. It is a real currency, by the way. People think it's not, but it is. And then I want to talk about some of the numbers, the ISM numbers. I've talked about numbers before this week. This week was a lot of numbers coming out, and I want to make sure we all understand what they're telling us and what they say. And two recent surveys says employees are starting to save a lot more money. A survey by Fidelity and a survey by Bank of America. I want to talk about that. I reported that retirees or approaching retirees hardly have any money. Well, this survey is looking at the younger people. What are they doing? I think that's pretty interesting. The market was mixed to down. The Dow was up 10 points. But you know what? That 10 points, that was Tesla. Tesla had a good day today, and that pretty much drove it up. So, maybe it wasn't Tesla, but it's what I'm trying to point out has been a very narrow. Just a few stocks are driving markets these days, and Tesla being one of them. I don't think that Tesla is part of the Dow 30, remember I mentioned Boeing represented half the movement of the Dow in the month of July? Very narrow. So Dow was up 10, but the Nasdaq was down 22. And the S&P down 5. I think for all of us, the serious investors, you probably keep an eye on the S&P 500. The S&P 500 companies represent about 80% of the market cap of the stock market, whereas the Dow only represents about 20%, 22%, something like that. So the Dow doesn't represent the market. The S&P is a better representation of the market. So that would be a better thing to look at. Even though the Dow made a new high today, 7 days in a row? That's pretty amazing. That's very unusual. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We're live 4-5 Pacific time. As you analyze a stock, keep in mind that there are dozens of reasons for a stock to move in the short term. and you must be able to determine if the moves reflect healthy action in the stock or something else. Tesla, Teva is a very good example. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I have a question about the company I work for, which is Keysight Technologies, which used to be Agilent. We spun off from them, and prior to that, we were the original Hewlett-Packard, making electronic and industrial test equipment. What do you think about the fundamentals of the company, and is it a good time to buy, good time to sell, either or? And my second question is, I'm involved in the employee stock purchase plan where I get a 15% discount on our company stock. And my original plan was to sell the day it's purchased or the first day I'm able to sell my stock and use that to fund my Roth IRA. And that way I get an instant, you know, maybe 12, 11% return after taxes or whatnot. And long-term capital gains don't really apply to me because with my adjusted gross as a single income earner and my family, I'm below the 15% threshold. So I can sell it before that and not have to worry about anything more than long-term capital gains. But I've heard that, like with Enron, sometimes it's bad to hold too much employee stock in the company you work for in case it folds, which I don't think it's going to fold. And I am pretty bullish on the company, so maybe I'll make a bigger return as long as the fundamentals are good because we're the leader in 5G. We're about 9 to 12 months ahead of all the other companies, and I really think our products are going to do good, and we're going to make a lot of money on 5G like we did in 3G. So I just want to get your opinion on the company as a whole and maybe what I should do with my employee stock. Sell, hold, you know, see what direction it should go. Appreciate your help and look forward to your answer. Thank you. Bye.
Keysight Technologies, symbol K-E-Y-S, Keys, provides electronic measurement solutions for communications and electronic industries. And it's a $7.7 billion company, so it's clearly a mid-cap company. It's going to make $2.65 next year after $2.47 this year. It's growing its sales by about 3 or 4%. And, of course, you being an employee would know more about possible future of the company than I would just reading the brief outline that I have. Mutual funds are buyers of the company, and it's moved up from, you know, the low 20s now to 40 in, you know, just in a pretty short period of time, in less than a year. So it's moved up pretty sharply. Now, the five-year P.E. range is 8 to 17, and it's right at 17. It's a $41 stock. So it's not for it. Compared to the market, it's fairly inexpensive because the market overall is trading at, what, 19 forward earnings, 20, 21 backward earnings. So it's a P.E. ratio. So this one's at 17. But for it, its range is 8 to 17, so it's right at the top. So it's a little bit risky, but the return on equity is very good at 30. It's, you know, the fundamentals look pretty decent. Now hopefully you get some growth. And you need to not get over invested in any one stock. Everybody at Enron, all the employees there thought it's a utility. It's not going to go away. There's always that big risk. So make sure you don't over own it. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Are there some unfilled holes in your knowledge landscape? Of course, often we don't know what we don't know. So stay humble and keep learning. You can get through right now with your money questions at 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good. I had a bad day because of Teva, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I wanted to maybe find out if that, it's very strange. I mean, it really got beat up badly, but
yeah.
Does that mean this was just maybe a value trap all along, or is this a perfect opportunity to add more? I mean, I have it. I currently own it. I wouldn't mind adding more, but I want to be, you know, sensible about it as well.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I tell everybody, don't buy too much of any one stock. Because you don't, something out of the blue, totally unexpected and unpredictable could happen like what just happened. But I'll say this, as I looked at all the information that was pumped out by the company today, the sales weren't that bad. Earnings weren't bad if you took away the one big one-time item, you know, impairment item. And, you know, they did say they didn't get their some of their products that they were supposed to get out sold into the marketplace. They didn't get it out on time. And, you know, it all goes back to they're not. I think they're leaderless. I don't think they have someone strong enough to run the company. Now the question is it a good value now? And I'm going to have to wait a little bit. But I tend to want to believe that maybe we should be buyers at this low price. But I'm not going to add to it right now, and I may not add to it at all. But you know, I'm not too scared of it either. I'm not afraid of this. So, but so far I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong thinking that this was a good value, area of value. I don't think it's a value trap, but, you know, James, it could be. You know, you never know these things until you look back and say, you know, no, that was a value trap. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, so I'm tending to believe that I'm going to stay with it for a while and just see. Okay?
Okay, thank you much.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it. Let's go to Rabi in Santa Clara. How you doing, Rabi?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
This is regarding the stock Bank of New York Mellon.
Yes.
Do you think is the right time to enter in that? So, symbol is BK.
Okay. A holding company for the Bank of New York Mellon, offering, you know, commercial and treasury services in 35 countries. So it's big. It's a $56 billion company. That's mega cap. That's not just big. That's really, really big. They're growing their sales 4 to 7% for the last four quarters or so. So that's very good. Our earnings are going to be $353 this year, up 5%, and then $394, up another 12% next year. And the PE is right around 15. Okay. Now the stock has moved up from 39 to 53 in about a year. So that's a pretty decent move. It could easily have more on the upside. The PE ratio is at the high of its range. The range for banks has been pretty low lately. And it doesn't pay much of a dividend. So you're asking me, can it go higher? Well, it's right near, you know, I would say it probably could go as high as about $60 a share. That would be my target price. And it's at 53.82. So it's not a lot of upside potential, but I think it does have upside potential. Okay, Robbie? Appreciate it. Might have a pullback in between, but I do think it does have good numbers. Let's go to Wendy in Chino Hills. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing good. I hope you all feel better now. I won't ask you. I already heard. So you will be better, I think.
Oh, anyway, it's only one stock.
Yeah, like you have been in the stock market for so long, and you see all the ups and downs, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You are like weatherproof. Anyway, my question is regarding the BOFL. I think it's an online banking company.
B as a boy?
Can you do some fundamental analysis?
It's not coming up under that symbol. B as in boy, O as in open, F as in Frank, and L as in Larry.
B O F L, I think.
Okay, let me check that. Just F
I. Maybe B-O-F-I. Maybe I.
Frank's International.
No, B O F. As in Frank.
Okay. I. Okay, that's B of I Holdings, Inc. Is that it? B of
yes,
I. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Operates BOFI, Federal Bank, operating primarily through the Internet and from one office in San Diego. Now, so it's an Internet bank, and the sales are growing quite nicely. They fell off a little bit in the most recent quarter to 9% growth from 20% growth, but they're still growing quite nicely. And the stock is not that overpriced. It's with a 13 PE. It's going to make $2.42 this year and $2.78 next year. That means the PE is a $27 stock. The PE is going to be 10 next year. So it's actually going to be cheaper if it doesn't move and earnings come in like they say. It's a 10 PE and that five-year range is 8 to 30. So it kind of looks like it's cheap to me. Okay.
Okay.
And I kind of think, It looks like it bottomed around $22, $23 a share, found support,
right,
and then it's been moving up since then. So I kind of like it. You're going to have a lot of resistance around 30, 31. It's at 27.51. So it's right in the middle of support and resistance. But long term, I think it looks pretty decent.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, Wendy. Thank you. You're listening to Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Our Invest Talk podcast continues. One of KPP Financial's solutions that help solve today's retirement puzzle is our balanced income portfolio. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you don't feel comfortable with? That's what this program is all about. The Balanced Income Portfolio from KPP Financial. And remember, as with each KPP program, the principles at KPP are invested right along with you. Would you like to know more about it? The Balanced Income Portfolio? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts, or you can ask Steve about it directly. Just click on the Contact Steve button on investtalk.com. Now let's get back to the podcast. Now back to Invest Talk. Glad you're here to talk with Steve, financial advisor Steve Peasley. Ready for your money questions? Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Okay, you know how all the professionals are whining about how overvalued the market is, and of course I'm one of those, right? I think the market's pretty overvalued. And so there's really no place else to go than stocks, because where can you make any money? You can't make money in a savings account, very difficult. So here's a possible alternative, commodities. Now, commodities have been in a pretty long-term slump, and they had a decent 2016, but they're not having a great 2017. So they've come back down a bit. But I'm thinking it might be, and no one's really excited about commodities at all. You don't hear anybody talking about them. You know, maybe it's time to give them a second look. Here you have Europe gaining economic strength. You have China still growing like it always has. You have the United States picking up in its GDP, but nothing great, nothing fantastic. So could commodities be, you know, they've been beat up, you know, and they had somewhat of recovery, but that recovery was pretty mild compared to how bad they'd been beat up. And you can buy these through ETFs or mutual funds. You can buy into the commodities. And it's a great way to diversify away from the stock market because of its high valuation. But, you know, commodities, I can't tell you how good the returns are going to be, because it's hard to know. They trade a lot on supply, long-term supply and demand, but more so on everybody's short-term outlook of where they're going to go. So it's hard to take a look at commodities and say, well, this is the earnings and this is the growth rate and this is what it's going to. It's hard to do it because they it's a commodity. It's not. It's hard to differentiate yourself if you're a company mining for iron ore, or you're a company that makes something, you know, fertilize you know it's hard. So, but it is a good way to diversify away from the stock market, and I think we all need to diversify our portfolios. Now let's get back to our 24-hour Litany timeline. You can call whenever you feel like it, 888-99-CHART.
Hi Steve, Justin, this is Ellen from Michigan. I'm an avid podcast listener. Thanks for all the great info you impart each day on your show. I would like your opinion on First Energy Corporation, ticker symbol F as in Frank, E as in energy. I bought a full position a few years ago for a long-term hold for the dividend in a retirement portfolio. Recently, they've fallen on hard times, their earnings have tanked, and I've read that their subsidiaries may file for bankruptcy protection or reorganization. I'd like your opinion on the stock and if you think the dividend is safe long term, or should I just get out and move on? Thanks. Love the show.
Okay, First Energy Corp, they're a $14 billion company, so they're big. It's a holding company engaged in the generation and distribution of electricity to 6 million customers in Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Maryland, New York, and New Jersey. So they were making, and what she's talking about here is that in 2010, 11, 12, they were making $3 to $4 a share. This year they're going to make $2.80. Now that's up from last year at $2.63. And next year they're going to make only $2.50. So it's like, wait a minute, what happened? Why are you not making so much? Well, if you look at it, they have a 4.5% dividend. If you look at the fundamentals, the biggest kind of red flag that I see is that they have lots of debt. The debt really worries me, that debt. And they don't have any growth in sales. They're shrinking 3-5% per quarter for 6 quarters in a row. So the question is it worth that dividend? Are they going to cut the dividend? Cash flow is very strong at $7. It's a $32 stock. PE is 12, and the 5-year range is 10 to 16. Those fundamentals look pretty decent. A utility is a pretty solid place to be. It's hard for a utility to go under, but they can, but it's pretty hard. I would tend to suggest that you either hold it for the long term like you're doing, or it looks like there's a lot of resistance right around $32, $33, and it's at $32.06 now. So this would be resistance. But in a market, volatile market that I think we're going to get, you know, energy, you know, utility type stocks are going to do pretty decent, I think. So unless there's something you don't know, I don't know, that's not here, I'm tending to hold on to it. FE is the symbol. FE. Frank Edward. 888-99-CHART. So let's look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a currency. No matter what people say, it is a currency. It is an electronic currency, but it is a currency. It's not backed by any government or anything like that. It's real. It's probably here to stay. You can buy things with Bitcoin if you own some Bitcoins. It's tracked everywhere it goes. Unlike a dollar bill or $100 bill, no one tracks that currency, right? No one. But a Bitcoin, it's tracked exactly who owns it, and where do they spend it, and who owns it now. So there is a massive track record of every Bitcoin that's out there. It's very volatile. It's a volatile currency. It could fade from popularity. There's other competitors, you know. And it can be stolen. We've seen that. It can be stolen. You know, remember, it's all on the internet. This is an electronic currency. It's out there in the ether. Someone can figure out how to take that ether coin and do something with it, and they have. So, of course, they tightened up those things, but it is possible. So, when you hear the word people, oh, I bought that with Bitcoin. That is just as valid as you bought it with a credit card. Is a credit card any different? Think about it. You just, from point A to point B, you bought something. So don't think in terms of it's not real or that it's fake or that it's just some made up something. Well, it is just made up, but it is real. So I just want, you know, and I think you're going to see these types of, I think it's here to stay. Maybe it won't be Bitcoin. Maybe there'll be some other, you know, electronic currency, cryptocurrency, I think they're calling it, cryptocurrency. But that currency is here to stay. Our free risk analysis tool is cutting-edge technology that pinpoints your acceptable levels of risk with pretty close accuracy. When you use the tool, it's free. We can ensure that the risk in your portfolio aligns with your investment goals and expectations and your own personal risk score. It scores from 0 to 100. 0 to 100. Your score is 0 to 100. Okay, it scores your, when you answer the few questions, you get a score. Then we can put your portfolio in, and it gets a score based on the same kind of volatility parameters. It's very sophisticated stuff how they come up with it. Nobel Prize winning economics was, you know, this is a very good piece of software. If you want to know what your risk score, it's free. Just go to investtalk.com. and click on the Invest Talk tab.
A survey showed that 73% of investors say keeping my money safe is more important to me than trying to generate returns. Well, Steve takes risk management seriously too, and that's why during his portfolio reviews, he examines retirement accounts with risk in mind, managing it to protect investors' future. Steve schedules just a few of these individual checkups each month. If you'd like to reserve your own hour on Skype or telephone, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Jim in San Jose. How you doing, Jim?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good.
I have a question about Teva. You've been recommending in your talk show previously.
Yes.
Today, it's been down 24%.
Yep.
I don't know whether it's going to be just take a loss, get cut out and leave, or just stay.
Well, I talked about it twice already in this hour. This will be the third time. And I think what you do is you never get out the day that something crashes. You wait to see what's happening. And I mentioned why it went down. They cut their dividend by 75%, but the sales were decent, the earnings were decent, and they had a big one-time expense item they admitted to. And I've said that the management is, they need to get the CEO on board. But I'm thinking, I'm going to be studying it pretty closely over the next few days and make my decision. If you're a dividend investor, well, you probably get out of Teva because they cut the dividend pretty dramatically. It was 4.9%. They cut it 75%. So that tells you it's going to be. They said they cut it because they're going to pay down debt. The reason they cut it is a pretty good reason to pay down debt. They shouldn't even have the debt in the first place, but that's what they said, and that's not a bad thing. But I think investors did not like what they hear, obviously, because the stock was down pretty heavy. I wouldn't exit just based on what happened today. But if the fundamentals look poor going forward, then it might be a good reason to exit. But right now, I don't see that. But I'm not. I've been wrong.
I'm sorry. I will be listening to you. So can you do some research and make a decision? Announce it your recommendation.
No, I will not do that.
Couple
of
days.
No, I won't do that because I can't. The SEC does not allow me to make buy and sell recommendations unless someone calls me up and asks me. I can't just come out with it. Someone would have to call me back in 3 or 4 days or a week and ask me about it. Then I can talk about it, but I can't just say on the radio, oh, this is what we're going to do. I can't do that. The SEC doesn't think that's right, so I can't.
Okay,
Jim,
appreciate
the
much.
Call. Yeah, the rule is that the rule that they use is you don't know your customer. I don't know who you are out there in the radio land. Since I don't know you, I can't make any money manager, not just me, cannot make recommendations on TV, radio, in writing, just because, unless they don't manage other people's money. That's why Jim Cramer on TV, he can say whatever he wants because he doesn't manage anybody's money. Okay? Now, I had an email, and part of it was on Teva today, but I wanted to talk about the other part. And this is Donna. She would like to know, explain the difference between the corporate bonds and preferred stocks. I understand that both are corporate debt, limit the upside of a company's growth, but that's not necessarily true. But what are the advantages and disadvantages of each? Okay, a bond versus preferred stock. A bond is an instrument in which it's issued that say they're going to pay you. You buy the bond, let's say at $10,000, and they're going to pay you a set interest rate for a set period of time, let's say 5% over 5 years. And in a bond, you, at the end of that period where it matures, you get your $10,000 back. A preferred stock says, okay, you buy it at a certain price, and we're going to give you a fixed percentage return of 5%, but there is no maturity date. That's one of the main differences. A bond will go up and down in value based on interest rates movement, but it will always go back to par. A preferred stock will go up and down in interest rate, but there is no par. It goes up and down based on interest rate, but there is no par. There's no. Now, some of the preferreds have callable, but so are some of the bonds. In other words, they can buy it back. Some of the preferreds, many of the preferreds can have a expiration date and do, but they're not. It never necessarily get back your par. You sell it at whatever the market calls for at the time. So there is a pretty significant difference in them. Okay? But they're both, as you point out, both are instruments to produce cash so the company can use money to do whatever it wants to do with. Okay? I'm going to talk about some more economic numbers that came out this week. I've talked about earlier in the week, but first we're going to go to Robert. Robert, how you doing?
Pretty good, Steve. How are you?
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Hey, I've just been keeping an eye on the stock for Macy's, symbol M.
Yeah.
I think they've really kind of taken a beating recently over this whole Amazon situation.
Yep.
Just wondering what your opinion is, if it's an attractive stock to purchase at these levels.
I'm not, and you probably have heard me, Robert, talk about big box stores, and this is a big box store. I'm not very keen on them, the department stores, because of Amazon and and the competition there. And it's really a tough time. I think you stay away from it. It's going to make $3.13 this year, and going to actually increase earnings next year, $3.32. But in 2019, they're already predicting $2.76 a share. Sales are going down 4 to 8% per quarter for 2 years in a row so far. And now the question is it cheap enough at the a $23 stock going to make $2.76? That's way below 10 PE. And this, to me, feels like a value trap, Robert. Now, people early asked about Teva. Is that a value trap? It's hard. I don't think so, but I do think Macy's might be. It looks awful attractive, has a lot of debt, but because it's low price, but I think it deserves that low price, and I would stay away from it, Robert.
All right. Would you think something maybe like a Foot Locker? Would you put that in?
I like that better. You know why? Okay. Because it's not a department store. It's focused on shoes. It's that I like that kind of retail stock better. I do. Thanks, Robert. You're listening to Best Talk. We'd love to hear from you before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART. We'll try to get your questions. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's go to John in Santa Cruz. How are you doing, John?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, John.
I have a question about as a commodity and a way to invest in commodities. BCX.
Okay, yeah.
BlackRock Resources.
Yeah, uh-huh. That is a commodity strategy. BlackRock Resources commodity strategy. Closed-in fund. So if it's closed-in, you know it will sell at a discount or a premium to its net asset value. So you want to find out where it is now in relationship to the value of the securities it holds. So it's a closed-in fund investing securities issued by commodity or natural resource companies. So this is a perfect way to get into the commodity sphere and have a good diversity of that commodity sphere. Pays a very nice dividend at 7.2%. I'm not sure how, it's hard to know how secure that is. It's just very difficult to know because you don't know, I don't know what the holdings are. But yeah, this would be a great way to get into the commodity sphere if you want to diversify your portfolio. Symbol is BCX. B is a boy, C is in cat, X is an X-ray. So yeah, John, this is okay. And it looks like it recently broke above its resistance and now it's pulling back to that resistance. Now it would be called support, so it's right around that level. So it's, I kind of like this.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Thank you, John. 888-99-CHART, ISM Manufacturing and ISM Services. ISM Manufacturing, ISM, Institute Supply Management. These are, this is gauging how companies are faring in their business. And they break it into two pieces, manufacturing and non-manufacturing. And, of course, non-manufacturing is more important to the U.S. economy because we have more services activity, economic activity, than we do have manufacturing activity. Okay, so the manufacturing number, and this is the both of these numbers reported this week. The manufacturing number came out the day before yesterday, and it went from 57.8 to 56.3. Anything above 50 designates growth, so it's still growing. There's nothing wrong with that. It just came down a little bit. I'm a little bit more concerned about the ISM services number because it went from 57.4 to 53.9. And we're that services is more important. Still above 50, still indicating growth. I just don't like that direction all of a sudden. While, you know, recently the economy has been improving, why are these numbers falling? I'm more concerned about the direction, not the absolute number at this point, you know, because they should be staying steady or growing. Factory orders were up, which is good. But construction spending was down 1.3%. They expected it to be up 0.4%, but it was down 1.3%. Now, that maybe it's because it's volatile, maybe because we've seen the permits number being pretty strong for future. So I'm a little concerned about that. Tomorrow we get the official payroll report, the official payroll report. ADP reported on Wednesday 178,000 new private sector jobs. It was 191,000 last month, okay, the month before, because we're talking about July now, because we're into August. So it's going to be, it was 178,000 ADP report, 178,000 private sector jobs. The official number, payroll, comes out tomorrow, and I will be looking at that. I'm just looking at the various numbers, and it doesn't seem like the recent ones have been kind of soft, not weak. I don't want to give you that impression, but soft. And they're soft in the face of an economy GDP number that improved from the first quarter to the second quarter. But now all of a sudden, we're seeing softer numbers come out that gives me a pause. Still good, though. I don't want to give you the false impression. But I want to give you the impression we need to watch these numbers pretty carefully. Okay? Time to watch these numbers pretty carefully. So the recent survey about employees saving money, I'll have to save that for tomorrow. And I certainly will. Time's up for the hour today. A reminder about my San Jose date this month. It's August 23rd for individual portfolio reviews. Together we can take a look at how your accounts are stacking up and what your particular life situation goals are. And maybe determine if you're on the right path. I'll be in San Jose on the 23rd of August. To reserve your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, thanks for being with me today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.